ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड द सुप्रीम कैरेक्टर ऑफ जड़ भरत टेक्स्ट 13 एंड 14। This text is in prose form, so I'll just read it out. Tasyaha daiva muktasya pasha padvintat anuchara paridavanto nishi nishta samaye tamasvatayam anudagita poshava akshamikena vidina kedaranrida virasnena amriga varadiba sumakshinam Samkrasanamangira Paravasutam Apashyan. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The leader of the dacoits captured a man animal for sacrifice, but he escaped, and the leader ordered his followers to find him. They ran in different directions but could not find him. Wandering here and there in the middle of the night, covered by dense darkness, they came to a paddy field where they saw the exalted son of the Angira family, Jada Bharat, who was sitting in an elevated place guarding the field against the attacks of deer and wild pigs. Text 14.
Atata ena manam vadya laksha nam avasram bada karma nispatam manyam bodhva nasaya chandikam graham upani yudmuda vikashita vadanaha.
Translation: the followers and servants of the dacoit chief considered Jad Bharat to possess qualities quite suitable for a man animal, and they decided that he was a perfect choice for sacrifice. Their faces bright with happiness, they bound him with ropes and brought him to the temple of the goddess Kali. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In some parts of India, animalistic men are still sacrificed before the goddess Kali. However, such a sacrifice is only performed by Shudras and dacoits. Their business is to plunder the wealthy, and to become successful they offer an animalistic man before the goddess Kali. It should be noted that they never sacrifice an intelligent man before the goddess. In the body of a Brahman, Bharat Maharaj appeared deaf and dumb, yet he was the most intelligent man in the world. Nonetheless, being completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he remained in that condition and did not protest being brought before the deity for slaughter. As we have learned from the previous verses, he was very strong and could have very easily avoided being bound with ropes, but he did not do anything. He simply depended on the Supreme Personality of Godhead for His protection. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes surrender unto the Supreme Lord in this way: Maravi Rakhovi Ye Ichcha Tohar Nitya Das Prati Toya Adhikar. My Lord, I am now surrendered unto You. I am Your eternal servant. And if You like, You can kill me, or if You like, You can protect me. In any case, I am fully surrendered unto you. So we have been relishing the wonderful narrations from Srimad Bhagavatam for the last few days in relation with this chapter about the character of Jad Bharat, who is none other than Bharat Maharaj. And we have seen how he was ill-treated and mistreated by his brothers. He was just made to stand in the field and work very hard. And throughout he behaved very indifferent. He did not reveal anything. He just went through the passage of time tolerating everything. Srila Vyasadeva compiled the four Vedas. He wrote many other scriptures. But in spite of having written so much, he was feeling very despondent. And he was sitting on the banks of River Saraswati after his morning ablutions when his spiritual master, Narada Muni, came before him. And he explained to him the reason of his despondency and told him the solution about it. He told him that until and unless he writes about the most wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself and his devotees, he will not feel satisfaction. Under the instructions of his spiritual master, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. But let us for a moment think. Supposing Srila Vyasadeva did compile the Srimad Bhagavatam, so what? What next? How could it have benefited you and me today? Because this Srimad Bhagavatam was then given to us by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada in its present form, that we are able to read it, try to understand it, and relish it. What if Srila Prabhupada would have just translated? Until unless it was printed, it would have been not of much use to us. Even if it was printed, until and unless it was distributed, we would not have got the benefit of this wonderful scripture. On the banks of Radhakund, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada was walking along with his disciple, then known as Abhay Charana Ravinda. And seeing the sincerity, understanding the dedication of Srila Prabhupada, who was at that time a householder and had many other responsibilities, but he had this deep desire within his heart to please his spiritual master. When Srila Prabhupada first met his spiritual master. He went there along with his friend Narendra. At that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as soon as he saw him, immediately gave him an instruction and said, "You are a young man. You should preach the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the Western country in the English language." It was a shock. Srila Prabhupada is seeing this person for the first time and immediately he is giving him an order. And now on the banks of Radhakund, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is explaining to Srila Prabhupada. He is saying that the mud is falling apart. It is on fire. He is very confidentially revealing to him that the state of the Gaudiya Math, which he had established, is in a very bad condition. The devotees are fighting amongst themselves over petty things like who will have which room. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur expressed his view to Srila Prabhupada and said, "It is better if we tear off the marble from that room and sell it and print books. And there, he gave his second instruction to Srila Prabhupada and said, "If ever you get some money, print books and distribute them." These two instructions of his Guru Maharaj were the life and soul of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, the Hare Krishna movement today, as we see it, is based just on Srila Prabhupada fulfilling these two instructions of his Guru Maharaj. On the basis of these two instructions, he fulfilled the goal of his life and perfected it. In fact, the essence of Krishna consciousness is to please one's spiritual master. That is the aim and goal, and that should be the only aim and goal of every disciple. We should understand that if we please our spiritual master, then we don't have to do anything else. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Just by pleasing the spiritual master, we can achieve all that we need to achieve by coming into Krishna consciousness. And this was wonderfully exhibited by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has given us these wonderful books and the enormous literature. And through these books, we can understand about the wonderful parampara that we come into, the exalted previous acharyas, how they have understood the science of Krishna consciousness and applied it in their lives. We can understand by their example on how we should lead our lives. Out of all these wonderful exalted acharyas, today I will make an attempt to speak something about Srinivas Acharya, because he, along with Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamanand Goswami, constituted the first book distribution team in our entire Gaudiya Sampradaya. The first personality who accepted this mission was Srinivas Acharya. In Bengal, in a village named Chakandi Gram, was a very pious Brahmin by the name of Gangadhar Bhattacharya. Gangadhar Bhattacharya, along with his wife Lakshmi Priya, was living a very simple and pious life. Lakshmi Priya's father, Balaram Vipra, was from Jajigram. So one day, Gangadhar Bhattacharya was traveling to Jajigram to meet his father, Balaram Vipra. On the way, he passed by Katwa. And when he was on the outskirts, he saw that thousands of people are rushing towards the ashram of Kesho Bharati Maharaj. He inquired from these people, "What is happening? Why are all of you rushing?" He said, "Don't you know? Nimai has come to Katwa. Gauranga has come to Katwa. And when Gangadhar Bhattacharya went closer, and for the first time in his life saw the most beautiful form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw that most lustrous, beautiful yellow form with jet black curly hair on his head, he was astounded. And then he saw that this personality is ordering a barber, in fact commanding him, to immediately shave his hair. When this barber started to shave, there was a roar of tumultuous and happiness throughout the universe. Everyone started crying and weeping. They could not tolerate to see this most beautiful hair of their Gauranga being shaved. And Gangadhar Bhattacharya, who was seeing him for the first time, he saw that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is sitting next to the river Ganges and Kesho Bharati Maharaj is giving him the sannyas mantra, and he gave him the name Shri Krishna Chaitanya. As soon as Gangadhar Bhattacharya heard this, he became mad. He just kept on shouting, "Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya." He was dancing like a madman. People tried to hold him, but they were not able to hold him. In this state, he went back to his village, Chakandi Gram. When he came to Chakandigram, the people of Chakandigram could not understand what has happened to him. He was perfectly all right when he left for this journey, and now what madness has descended on him? But when they understood that he was constantly chanting the name of Chaitanya, they also understood that the only person who can help him is Chaitanya. And they named him Chaitanya Das. From that day, Gangadhar Bhattacharya was known as Chaitanya Das. Chaitanya Das, since the day he saw that beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya and he underwent that experience of seeing him taking sannyas, suddenly developed a very unusual desire in his heart. He was a very detached person, but he developed a desire in his heart of having a son. He expressed his desire to his wife Lakshmi Priya, and surprisingly, she too had a similar desire at the same time. When they expressed their desire to each other, Lakshmi Priya said, "Let us go to Jagannath Puri and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. He will be able to fulfill our desire." So the two of them started their journey for Jagannath Puri, and on the way they were just lamenting, they were just cursing themselves for having wasted their life and not meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu till this day. They were thinking that our life is totally useless. So saying, they reached the outskirts of Jagannath Puri. When they were on the outskirts of Jagannath Puri, a most wonderful thing happened. Both of them simultaneously saw a very beautiful vision. They saw in front of them a young boy, color of monsoon clouds, standing in a threefold bending form, adorning a peacock feather in his turban, playing on a flute, wearing a dhoti the color of the lightning, and around his neck was a beautiful, beautiful garland of the wild multicolored flowers reaching till his knees. While they were watching this vision, suddenly the form of this young boy changed into the form of Navadip Chandra, who was in a most beautiful golden yellow form along with his associates, performing the most beautiful pastimes of Harinam Sankirtan. And soon this beautiful form of Gauranga changed into the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya as a sannyasi, adorned by the saffron robes, holding a danda and a kamandalu in his hands. And while they were watching this form, it changed into a black form of Lord Jagannath with wide lotus-like eyes. Jagannath, along with Baladev and Subhadra, was performing so many pastimes. They came out of the stupor and proceeded towards the temple. When they reached the Sinhadwaram, they saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, was just entering the Jagannath temple. When they saw him, they immediately fell to the ground. And at that very moment, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed them. And he called out to Chaitanya Das. And when he went and met him, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Go and take darshan of Jagannath. He will fulfill all your desires." When they entered the temple, they saw that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, had just taken the darshan, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beckoned his servant Govinda and said, "Take Chaitanya Das and his wife in the presence of Jagannath. They have come here with a desire, and Lord Jagannath will fulfill their desire. You take him there, take them there." Govinda took them, and the two of them worshipped the Lord. Later in the day, the devotees were asking Govinda, "Who was this couple? What was their desire? Do you know?" Govinda said, "I do not know, but I am sure very soon Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will tell us." And then, right then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called them and said that this couple has come with the desire of having a son, and Lord Jagannath will fulfill their desire, and their son will be named Srinivas, and Srinivas will perform many wonderful pastimes, and he will carry out my mission, and he will distribute the books throughout the world." He gave the instruction to Chaitanya Das and Lakshmi Priya to go to Godadesh. And sure enough, very soon Lakshmi Priya was pregnant, and they gave birth to this most beautiful boy. This boy, little child, right from his childhood, was educated and brought up by his mother and father. His mother would teach him the different names of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would learn all those names. Then she would sing the names, and then he would sing the names, and like that throughout the day he would be repeating only the names of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Soon he grew up. He got a sacred thread and he started his studies. He was a brilliant student. He came in contact with Narahari Sarkar of Srikhanda, and right from that time, the two of them developed a very close relationship, and Narahari Sarkar loved him like his own child. His father, Chaitanya Das, would always tell him the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivas would eagerly want to hear from him. Chaitanya Das told him about the appearance of Nimai. He told him about the pastimes of Nimai Pandit, on how he defeated the Digvijayi Pandit Keshava Kashmiri, who had come with elephants and palanquins and many, many followers. He had defeated everyone with his logic. And when he came to Navadvip, Nimai Pandit, knowing that he is a disciple of Goddess Saraswati, he defeated him, but in such a way that he defeated him without breaking his heart. This was the miracle. Chaitanya Das told Srinivas on how Nimai Pandit went to Gaya and got initiation from Ishwarapuri. And after returning from Gaya, how he was a totally transformed person and he started the Harinam Sankirtan in Navadvip. He told him how the Lord, along with Nityananda Prabhu, gave their mercy to Jagai and Madai. He told him how in the streets of Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the most gigantic Harinam and went to the house of Chand Kazi. He told him that in this Harinam party, millions of people were there because all the demigods had descended and take human form to attend this wonderful Harinam. And Chaitanya Das is telling him that finally, I myself had heard all these pastimes about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but because of my association, I never had an opportunity to meet him. But finally, I did meet him and I saw him when he was taking sannyas. And he narrated that first meeting he had with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in great detail to Srinivas. He told him how he had seen that ceremony of sannyas, because Chaitanya Das was actually very close to Keshav Bharati Maharaj. He would many times go and meet him, and Keshav Bharati Maharaj would invite him to his ashram, and they had very nice relationship. But on this particular day, when he went to see Keshav Bharati, he witnessed that experience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. When Srinivas would hear these pastimes from his father, he would fall unconscious. His father would pick him up, embrace him, and he would tell him that may Chaitanya Mahaprabhu infest his love in your heart. He would bless him again and again and again. One day, Chaitanya Das told Srinivas that all that I have, all my possessions, including your mother, I hand it over to you, and I am going to Vrindavan. I am going to Vrindavan, where Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami are residing. I want to go and take their association. And he told him how once, when Chaitanya Das himself was a young boy, his teacher took him to Ramakeli, and there he had personally seen Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, who were the then Prime Minister and the finance minister of the Nawab of Bengal. How these two had made a wonderful assembly hall in Ramakeli where they would invite the great scholars and they would have discussions on various scriptures, especially on Srimad Bhagavatam. And how these two brothers were the most wealthy, the most beautiful, the most knowledgeable, the most famous, the most everything. And yet, how when anyone approached that assembly hall, they would come down from their high seats and very humbly receive the guest. Their humility was exemplary. And how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the two of them and sent them to Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Das now left everything under the care of his son Srinivas and himself went to Vrindavan to meet Rupa and Sanatan. Soon after that, Chaitanya Das gave up his body. Lakshmi Priya took her son Srinivas to her father's house, Balaram Vipra, and they made their residence in Jajigram. Once Srinivas went there, he just wanted to meet the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would constantly be inquiring about them, going and meeting them, talking to them, taking their association. And finally, he decided that he himself would go to Jagannath Puri and take the darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He expressed this desire to Narahari Sarkar. And Narahari Sarkar said, if you have to go, you have to go immediately. Do not waste any time. We have heard that Advaitacharya, who by his offerings to Shaligram of Tulsidal and Ganges had forced the Lord to descend on this earth, has now written a Taraja poem and sent it to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherein he says that, my Lord, now the time has come to end your pastimes on this earth. So Srinivas, you must hurry up before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves this planet. Srinivas started running towards Jagannath Puri. He would walk day and night. He just had this one burning desire in his heart to go and surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was constantly under anxiety. Will I see him? Will I get to meet Gadadhar? Will I get to meet the other associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? In this anxiety, when he approached Jagannath Puri, on the outskirts he saw some people who were totally devastated and lamenting. He tried to find out, but nobody was in a position to speak. They were just weeping and weeping and weeping. Finally, one devotee just exclaimed, how will we leave? How will we live without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He has left us. Upon hearing this, Srinivas fell unconscious. He fell to the ground. And when he was unconscious, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him. He placed his foot on the head of Srinivas and then disappeared. Having had the darshan once, Srinivas became even more intoxicated. And in this Vipralamba, he totally behaved like a madman and once again lost his consciousness. This time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared again and gave him the instruction, go to Neelachal, go and meet Gadadhar Pandit. He is waiting for you. Go to Neelachal, you will find Gadadhar Pandit at Tota Gopinath temple. With his own loving hands, Lord Chaitanya wiped the tears of Srinivas and embraced him and gave him the blessings of going. When Srinivas reached Jagannath Puri, when he reached Neelachal, he went to Narendra Sarovar and he meditated on the water sports which the Lord would have with his associates. He went to the Singhadwaram and he was meditating on the pastimes that the Lord had performed over there. From there, he went to Markandeya Sarovar. Near Markandeya Sarovar is the most beautiful form of Tota Gopinath. When he went there, someone ran up to Gadadhar Pandit and informed him that Srinivas has come. Can you imagine the state in which Gadadhar Pandit was? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just left the planet and he was totally devastated. But yet when he heard that Srinivas has come, he jumped with joy and went to meet him. He embraced Srinivas and he gave him his blessings. Gadadhar Pandit then arranged for Srinivas to meet with other devotees and associates. He went and met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was then speaking to Ramananda Rai about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When they saw him, they were so joyous. They told him, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already told us the beautiful pastimes that you are going to perform. And they gave him their blessings. He went to Vakreshwar Pandit. He gave him his blessings. He went to Paramananda Puri, Sikhi Mahiti. And then finally to the two servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda and Shankar Pandit. How Govinda and Shankar Pandit were lamenting at the loss of their Lord and Master. They were besides themselves. But when they saw Srinivas, they immediately became very happy. Then he went and saw Gopinath Acharya. But Srinivas was in his heart just thinking, why was I born at a time when the Lord has left this planet? Sarup Damodar Pandit has left the planet. Raghunath Das has gone to Vrindavan. King Pratap Rudra, he was like a mendicant. He had given up his kingdom to his son. And he was in one secluded place just meditating on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he went to the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur. And finally, Gadadhar Pandit sent him to take the darshan of Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. Gadadhar Pandit told him that I have the desire to teach you Srimad Bhagavatam. But there are so many obstacles that are coming in the way. Nonetheless, every day Gadadhar Pandit would narrate to Srinivas from the Bhagavatam. One day, Gadadhar Pandit told him, "We cannot continue this teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam because this one copy which I have, I am not able to read anymore from this." And when Srinivas saw that book, he saw that the ink on every word of the Srimad Bhagavatam was smudged by the tears of Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every day Gadadhar Pandit would recite the Bhagavatam to Mahaprabhu, and the two of them in their ecstatic love would just shed rivers of tears, and those tears would fall on this Bhagavatam and it smudged the ink on it and could not be read anymore. So Gadadhar Pandit told Srinivas, you go to Srikhanda and get me a fresh copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, and only then we can continue our studies. Srinivas had got the association of these wonderful devotees after such a long time, and now he was being asked to give up this association. Nevertheless, since it was the order of Gadadhar Pandit, he accepted it. But with a heavy heart, he went to Srikhanda, and there he met Narahari Sarkar. And he expressed his desire of getting a fresh copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. But then suddenly, Srinivas could not tolerate the pangs of separation. Having come all the way, he went back. He said, "I cannot fulfill this order. I must go back. And just as he was coming back and approaching Jagannath Puri, he heard that Gadadhar Pandit has left the planet. Srinivas was cursing himself. He was just thinking that he must have performed some most abominable activities, that wherever he goes, he just gets the news of these wonderful associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaving this planet. Like a madman, he started chanting, "Gauranga Gadadhar, Gauranga Gadadhar," and he felt unconscious. Gadadhar Pandit appeared to Srinivas and consoled him. He said, "Do not lose your heart. You have so many wonderful services to perform. Somehow or the other," Srinivas brought himself together and he went back to Jajigram. When he went back to Jajigram, a most wonderful thing happened. Gaur Gadadhar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit both appeared in his dream. They placed their feet on his head and they told him that you should go to Navadvip, and from there you should go to Vrindavan. Srinivas started his journey for Navadvip. When he reached the outskirts of Navadvip, he saw that many devotees were crying and weeping and they were just lamenting. They were saying, unable to bear the separation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya has left us. Srinivas, it was becoming too much for him. He was in such a horrible state that he was now convinced that he must have performed some very, very sinful activities. When Lord Nityananda and Advaita appeared before him and they explained to him that the devotees live for only one purpose, and that is to perform their service. And they told him that, do not worry, we are with you, but you have a great responsibility to perform. You have many duties to perform. You must now go to Navadvip and then go to Vrindavan. When Srinivas entered Navadvip, he asked everyone, where is the house of Nimai? When someone brought him in front of the house of Nimai, he just stood gazing at the house as if he was a wooden puppet. While he was gazing, he was just meditating on the most beautiful pastimes which had taken place in that house. While he was in a daze, someone came up to him and asked him to come in. He asked him, who are you? He said, my name is Vamsi Badana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had entrusted Vamsi Badana with his widowed wife Vishnupriya and told him to take care of her. Vamsi Badana brought Srinivas in the presence of Vishnupriya. Vishnupriya told him that, yes, last night my lord Gauranga appeared in my dream and he told me that tomorrow Srinivas will come. And he told me that I should take good care of him, and that Srinivas is most dear to his heart. When Srinivas came and paid his obeisances to Vishnupriya, she placed her lotus foot on his head, lifted him and gave him motherly love. She embraced him and fed him wonderful prasad. The two of them were deeply attached to each other, and Srinivas would come many times and seek the association of motherly Vishnupriya. Vishnupriya then sent him to meet the various devotees in Navadvip. He went and saw Murari Gupta, he saw Damodar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Shuklambar Brahmachari, and they all blessed him and they all gave him the same message. They all told him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants you to go to Vrindavan. This was the instruction for Srinivas. So he left Navadvip, and on his way first went to Shantipur. At Shantipur he met Sita Thakurani, consort of Advaitacharya, and took her blessings. Then he went to Kardaha. At Kardaha he met Parmeshwari Das, who was a very close associate of Nityananda Prabhu. Parmeshwari Das took him to the house of Nityananda Prabhu, and there he met Janava, Vasudha, the two wives of Nityananda Prabhu, and his son Veerachandra. They all showered their blessings on Srinivas, and they were also happy to see him. Janava said, before you go to Vrindavan, you must meet Abhiram Thakur. So Srinivas went to Kanakul Krishna Nagar to see Abhiram Thakur. Abhiram Thakur understood that Srinivas is coming. He sent someone with 10 coins and told him, you go and meet this young boy who is sitting on the bank of Darukeshwar River, and you give him these coins and tell him that he should cook an offering and offer it to Lord Krishna. This person went to Darukeshwar River and sure enough saw this young boy sitting there, and he gave him the 10 coins and told him what to do with it. Immediately Srinivas purchased the various bhoga and started cooking. And once he had completed cooking, he made an offering to the Lord. And after having made the offering, he was about to honor Prasad when four unknown men came before him. These four unknown men were actually sent by Abhiram Thakur. Abhiram Thakur, as usual, wanted to test. He wanted to see how genuine Srinivas is. As soon as Srinivas saw these four men whom he had never seen before, he paid his obeisances. He welcomed them. He asked them to sit down and served them all the prasad that was there. He himself had not had anything in days, but he served everything to these four unknown persons. Srinivas passed the test. Abhiram Thakur was hiding and watching, and when he saw this, he was very happy. He immediately got his whip, Jai Mangala. With his whip, he would not whip anybody, he would just touch it. And just by touching the whip, the person whom he would touch would develop ecstatic love. All the sign of ecstasy would appear in him. Abhiram Thakur picked up this Jai Mangal and he touched Srinivas. He touched him once and Srinivas went into an ecstasy. He touched him second time, the ecstasy grew. He touched him third time, Srinivas became mad with ecstasy. He was about to touch him the fourth time when Abhiram's wife Malini said, stop, stop, Abhiram, this is only a young boy. If you give him so much mercy, he will not be able to perform his duties. He will just go mad with ecstasy. So Abhiram Thakur stopped. And the two of them brought Srinivas before the deity of Radha Gopinath, who was like their life and soul. Abhiram Thakur then asked Srinivas to go to Vrindavan without any delay. But Srinivas, before going to Vrindavan, made a halt at Jajigram because he wanted to take the blessings of his mother and he wanted to take her permission for going to Vrindavan. His mother, Lakshmi Priya, it was very difficult for her to be separated from Srinivas. But because she knew this purpose of her son, because she knew The very purpose of Srinivas' birth was to propagate the holy name of the Lord. She gave her permission. Srinivas then, on his way to Vrindavan, proceeded to Ekachakra and there meditated on the childhood pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. And what beautiful darshans Nityananda Prabhu gave him. He visited Gaya and he meditated how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken initiation from his spiritual master Ishwarapuri. He then went to Prayag and he meditated on how Rupa Goswami was given the instructions over there. Finally, he went to Kashi and he meditated on how Prakashananda Saraswati was defeated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the whole city of Kashi was inundated by the holy names of the Lord. Then he went to Ayodhya. There he saw the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he had appeared in the previous Yuga of Treta. Having seen Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Ramchandra and Nityananda Prabhu as Lakshman, he approached Mathura and he took a bath at Vishram Ghat. While he was bathing at Vishram Ghat, people next to him were in very subdued tones speaking to each other. They did not have any life in them to speak. They were just whispering. Srinivas heard that they were saying that unable to bear the loss of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now Kashiswar Pandit has left this world. Raghunath Bhat Goswami has left this world. Sanatan Goswami has left this world. And now only recently, Rupa Goswami has left this world. Srinivas felt that he was not even able to stand on the earth. He collapsed. He collapsed like a bundle, unable to breathe. He just went into a stupor of unconsciousness. That time, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami appeared before him. They appeared before him and consoled him. And they told him, do not lament. We are non-different from Gopal Bhat Goswami. You have many important services to perform. Take initiation from Gopal Bhat Goswami. Go to Jiva Goswami and take your education from him. So saying, the two of them disappeared. At the same time, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami appeared to Jiva Goswami. And they told him, Srinivas is coming. You will meet him. Make sure and make all arrangements for him to be initiated by Gopal Bhat Goswami. And you personally take care of him and teach him all our scriptures, all the scriptures of all the Goswamis, and then entrust him with the responsibility of printing these books and distributing them. Srinivas then entered Vrindavan. He saw the beautiful gardens, the beautiful forests. He saw the tamal trees. He saw the kadamba trees. He saw how beautiful peacocks were strutting. The cuckoos were chirping. Deers were running here and there with their side glances. In this beautiful atmosphere of Vrindavan, he went to Govindadev temple. Govindadev temple at that time was a very small, simple temple. The bigger temple was yet being constructed. He went and sat in a corner, in a secluded corner. And when he sat there, he had no more strength left in him. He collapsed. When he woke up, he saw that he was lying in the lap of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami lifted him and he took him to Radha Damodar temple. Radha Damodar temple was the place where Jiva Goswami was himself residing. The deity of Radha Damodar was personally carved by Rupa Goswami. And this deity was being worshipped by Jiva Goswami because Rupa Goswami had personally entrusted the worship of Radha Damodar to Jiva Goswami. And Radha Damodar would exhibit such wonderful pastimes. He would just say, he would call out Jiva Goswami and say, "Cook for me," even if it was not the time for making an offering. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. He would tell him, "Now you come and sit in front of me and watch me eating." And Jiva Goswami would go and watch Radha Damodar eating. He would play on his flute with the most melodious voices. And Jiva Goswami would see Radha Damodar playing on the flute and dancing. He would perform many such pastimes. That night, since it had become dark, Jiva Goswami gave him to Srinivas Acharya a secluded place to take rest, and next morning he brought him before the deity of Radha Damodar. After taking darshan of Radha Damodar, Jiva Goswami brought Srinivas to meet Gopal Bhatt Goswami. When he took him to Gopal Bhatt Goswami, immediately, although Gopal Bhatt himself was in a most lamentable stage, when he saw Srinivas, he became very happy. And he took and presented Srinivas to Radha Raman Dev. And he told Radha Raman that, "Look, Srinivas has come." And he told Srinivas how Radha Raman Dev had come. Gopal Bhatt Goswami was very much attached to the worship of Govindadev. And Rupa Goswami would also be worshipping Govindadev. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then instructed Gopal Bhatt Goswami and told him that he should try and see Krishna in the Shaligram Shila which he has. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa Goswami that you please tell Gopal Bhat that he should worship his Shaligram Shila and try to see Krishna in that. But Gopal Bhat Goswami was very much attached to Govinda Dev. And then just one day before Narasingha Chaturdashi that we celebrated last Sunday, there was a deep desire within the heart of Gopal Bhat to offer the most beautiful jewelry and outfits to Govinda Dev. With this desire in his heart, he went to the Yamuna to take a bath. And when he came back, to his utmost surprise, he saw the Shaligram Shila transformed into the most beautiful form of Radha Raman Dev. Radha Raman Dev, who had the feet exactly like that of Madan Mohan, who had the chest exactly like that of Gopinath, and who has the face exactly like Govinda Dev, for the pleasure of Gopal Bhat, appeared in this most beautiful, beautiful form. Our acharyas tell us that this happened only by the mercy of Rupa Goswami. This is also what is explained in the Bhakti Ratnakar. But Gopal Bhat Goswami, even after worshipping Radha Raman, would sometimes lament. You may think, now what? When he was a child, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he had visited South India, Sri Rangam, where he had met young Gopal, he had given him the instruction that he should serve his father. And his father had given him the instruction that he should serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now, while he was serving Radha Raman Dev, he was still feeling within his heart some sort of an emptiness. And just then, for his pleasure, the deity of Radha Raman transformed itself into the most beautiful form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the desires of Gopal Bhat were fulfilled. Jiva Goswami then took Srinivas to meet other acharyas. He met Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami. He took him to the samadhis of Rupa and Sanatan. And finally, he said, time has now come for you to take initiation from Gopal Bhat Goswami. And on an auspicious day, Gopal Bhat Goswami gave Srinivas the mantra initiation. And what a beautiful festival that was. Everyone in the whole of Braja was talking about it. And soon Srinivas was known as the disciple of Gopal Bhat. Then Jiva Goswami took Srinivas to Radha Kund to meet with Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj, Raghava Goswami, and then he came back to Radha Damodar temple to start his education under the guidance of Jiva Goswami. Srinivas was a scholar. He was a wonderful, wonderful student. Just to give you an example, Jiva Goswami was writing the commentary on Ujjwala Nilamani by Rupa Goswami. On a particular verse, Jiva Goswami was not able to write the exact meaning. So he expressed to his student Srinivas and said, "Can you tell me what should be written for this particular verse?" Srinivas meditated on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed in his heart what should be written for that particular verse. And he told this to Jiva Goswami. Even today, in Ujjvala Nilamani, Jiva Goswami has written that this particular verse was explained to me by my student Srinivas. When Jiva Goswami saw that Srinivas is such a wonderful devotee, he is so humble, he is so intelligent, he is so dedicated, he approached all the other acharyas and took their permission, and with their permission he gave the title of acharya, and Srinivas was from that day known as Srinivas Acharya. He personally didn't want this title, he would not even use it. Actually he was feeling ashamed to have it. This is how Vaishnavas feel. And in this state of humility, Srinivas was continuing his education under Jiva Goswami. One day, Srinivas Acharya, as he was now known as, felt within his heart a deep desire to meet with Narottam. He had heard about Narottam. He had heard that this prince of Keturi Gram had given up all his possessions and he had dedicated his life. He had rejected all power, he has rejected all wealth, and he had dedicated his entire life to the mission. Rupa Goswami appeared before Srinivas Acharya and told him that tomorrow Narottam will come to Vrindavan. Narottam came to Vrindavan. He went and met Lokanath Goswami. He served him. He took initiation from him. And then he came to see Jiva Goswami. Srinivas Acharya, within his heart, was always feeling that I would always like to associate with Narottam, and I hope and desire that I am never separated from him. I would like to have his association. In Narottam, Jiva Goswami saw another brilliant student. And once again, with the permission of all the other senior Vaishnavas, he gave the title of Thakur Mahashaya to Narottam. And now Narottam was known as Narottam Thakur Mahashaya. Together, Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Thakur would study under Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami had a desire that they should go and see all the holy places of Brajadham. And right then, Raghava Goswami, who was a very humble devotee of the Lord from South India, and he was considered to be an authority, his meditation and his form of worship was to go on a parikrama of the entire Brajamandal. Jiva Goswami entrusted his two students to Raghava Goswami and requested him to take them on a parikrama. Raghava Goswami along with these two, started the parikrama, and he took them to Mathura. There, he first took them to Vishram Ghat, and then to Keshavaji Temple, the birthplace of Lord Krishna. And he explained to them the importance of this place, on how Subhudi Roy would live there as a servant of the servant of the servants. And he, in the very beginning, explained to them the very essence of parikrama. This way, they went around the 12 forests of Vrindavan. One day, Srinivasa Acharya felt that his right eye and his right arm was twitching. And he could feel that something very auspicious is going to happen. He told Narottam Thakur that I am feeling that very soon we will come in the association of a great Vaishnava. At that time, Narottam told him, yes, I have heard that Dukhi Krishna is on his way to Vrindavan. Dukhi Krishna, who was the disciple of Hriday Chaitanya. Hriday Chaitanya was the disciple of Gauridas Pandit of Ambika Kalna. Hriday Chaitanya had sent Dukhi Krishna to Vrindavan to take training under Jiva Goswami. When Dukhi Krishna entered Vrindavan, he went to Govardhan, he went to Radhakund, he met Loknath Goswami, and finally came to Radha Damodar temple. Once, a wonderful pastime took place there, and Jiva Goswami, under the instructions of Srimati Radharani, named him as Shyamananda. The power of love of Srinivas Acharya was so great. Just to give a few examples. Once Srinivas Acharya was meditating on the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. He saw in the center of Navadvip Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his associates performing the beautiful pastime of Harinam Sankirtan. And in this vision, on this meditation, Srinivas Acharya saw himself going up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and falling at his feet and weeping tears. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked him and embraced him. And then Srinivas Acharya anointed the beautiful golden form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with sandalwood pulp. And he put a beautiful garland of champaka flower on his neck and started fanning him. Lord was so pleased with Srinivas Acharya, he removed that garland from his own neck and put it around the neck of Srinivas Acharya. The power of that garland was so strong that in his meditation, he felt the garland actually around his neck and he woke up.
the garland which he had put on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his thoughts, and which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had put back on him, when he came out of the meditation, he actually saw that garland was around his neck. These meditations cannot be imitated. These are not some sort of imposed thinkings. The great devotees would just think about the Lord and get lost in their meditation, and the Lord would actually reveal to them his pastimes. And this garland which came around Srinivas Acharya, he was so humble. He didn't want anyone else to see it. Quietly he removed that garland and he kept it on a side so that nobody notices it. This is Vaishnava. One more example. Srinivas Acharya was meditating on the pastimes of Lord Krishna with Srimati Radharani and the gopis in a particular village known as Bagutala. In this village, the Lord performed the pastimes of playing with the gopis with colors. Holy. He saw that in a deep, dense forest, in a beautiful, beautiful kunja, Lord Krishna, along with Srimati Radharani and many gopis around them, had arrived. And soon, Vrindadevi appeared there. Vrindadevi came with thousands of her followers, and they brought out many bowls of powdered colors and syringes and water, and they made all preparations. Such fragrant colors. And very soon, the gopis started sprinkling this colored powder on Lord Krishna, and he started throwing the colors on the gopis, and this way the exchange was going on. Srinivas was watching this most beautiful sight. And then suddenly, Radharani called him. He actually was Mani Manjari. And his own form as Mani Manjari was participating in that pastime. And Radharani beckoned Mani Manjari and told her, "Go get more colors. I have to give more colors to Krishna." So Srinivas Acharya, who is actually Mani Manjari, ran to get more colors. And he brought the colors and placed them in front of Srimati Radharani. And she handed over the colors to Krishna. And Krishna was throwing those colors on Gopi. At that time, Srinivas Acharya came in between the crossfires of colors, and all the colors came on him. And suddenly when he came out of the meditation, he saw that he was fully covered with these colors which were there in the meditation. He had removed the garland, but when he tried to remove these colors, he could not do so. And when the devotees saw this, everybody understood what has happened and who has thrown these colors. One more example. Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda would go to different places. And this time, Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur were near the Govardhan Hill. And when they were going around it, they heard a sweet sound of flute coming from a cave. The two of them found out and entered that cave. When they entered that cave, there was an ambrosial fragrance coming out of that cave. And just by smelling that fragrance, the two of them fell unconscious. After some time, when they regained consciousness, they came out of the cave and they saw that there is a young beautiful boy with a turban on his head and a stick in his hand sitting outside the cave as if he is guarding it. They came out and he asked, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" This young boy said, "I saw the two of you in an unconscious state, and this is a very dangerous place. I am a cowherd boy. I know this place very well, and I know it is very dangerous. Your life was in danger. So I came here and sat with a stick to protect you. Now that you have both become conscious, I will leave, but please take care of yourself." The two of them went and sat under a tree, and they were just trying to understand what has happened. Where did this fragrance come from? Who is this boy? They could not understand anything. And then suddenly they saw a beautiful form of a young boy of the color of the monsoon cloud, three bended form, with a flute in his hands and a peacock feather in his turban, with a dhoti of the color of the lightning and the garland of malati flowers around his neck. And he said, "Do you recognize me? I am your most worshipable Lord. You are always trying to look for me. I was that boy who was trying to protect you from the wild animals when you fell unconscious in the cave. Now that you have seen me, are you happy? Be happy." And Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur came out of their consciousness and understood what an experience they had had. Once they were passing by Govardhan, and after having met Raghunath Das Goswami, they were going back. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they said, "Let us go to Surya Kund." When they approached Surya Kund, actually in the Ashtakalin pastimes, Srimati Radharani goes to Surya Kund every day, eternally, at about 4 in the afternoon. So when they were there, they could hear the tinkling of the ankle bells, which was so sweet, as if it was not from this world. They looked around and could not see anyone. They understood whose ankle bells they were. This way, Srinivas Acharya was really filled with love of Lord Krishna within his heart, and he would enter into many such pastimes. It is 10 o'clock. I was asked to stop at 10, but I have not yet finished. So, what should I do? It's a long way to go. Should we keep it for some other time? Or should I just wrap it up? Wrap it up? Sanat Kumar Prabhu has ordered me to wrap it up, so
as an obedient follower, I will do this. The time had come for the Goswamis to send the books along with this first Sankirtan party consisting of Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Thakur and Shyamananda Goswami. They assembled at Radha Govinda Dev temple and they had a very beautiful ceremony in which Jiva Goswami had arranged for all the acharyas to be present and he had also arranged for an ox cart from Mathura which belonged to a merchant over there. So this ox cart with two ox was brought in front of the Radha Govind Dev temple and Jiva Goswami had the collection of the original manuscripts of the books by all the Goswamis. He had a box made on this ox cart and he put those books in four bundles. As he would put each book, he would call out the title of the book and the author of that book. He would call out, Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu. And this way, each and every book, he would wrap and beautifully put it in the box. With the blessings of all the acharyas, the party, in addition to these three, consisting of many other devotees from Vrindavan, left, and after having taken the blessings of all the Goswamis, it went to Mathura. At Mathura, they had Krishna Katha and Harinam for a few days, and from there, they were to go to Godadesh. There is one important point I would like to make here, that when they were leaving Govinda Dev temple, Govinda Dev personally appeared to Srinivas Acharya and told him. Srinivas Acharya actually saw Govinda Dev come out of the temple and speak to him. And he said, the essence of the teachings which are in these books have been given by me. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shishi Gaunitai ki jai, Shri Gopal ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I have personally given the essence of the teachings to the Goswamis and they have put it in the books. And now I am personally entrusting these books to you and I, through you, will be distributing these books throughout the world. So do not fear. You will be protected. Go on this mission. And when they went from Mathura to Godadesh, the party went through many provinces and there was no problem. Very smoothly they were going. Till one such time when they came to a village in the kingdom of Vanavishnupur. In the kingdom of Vanavishnupur lived the king. And this king was so ruthless. His name was Birambir. He was actually a thief. He was actually a dacoit. He would just loot people. He had many dacoits working under him. and their only purpose was to harass the travelers and steal from them. This king had an astrologer. This astrologer would be able to predict and see where the treasures are, and he would give this information to the king. So this time the astrologer gave the information to the king that a cart with the most expensive jewels, the real treasure, the most valuable in this entire universe, is approaching your kingdom. The king was very happy. He immediately asked his dacoits to find out about this valuable box. They were closely following this cart. And one day, that day, when the cart reached this village in Vanvishnupur, the devotees who were with the cart, since it was very late at night, after they reached, for some time they were talking amongst themselves about the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and then finally fell asleep. As they were very tired and they were sleeping very fast, these dacoits found this opportunity, and just to make it very auspicious, they offered many buffaloes and goats to Kali, and having done that, they stole the box. They stole the box along with the cart, went through the jungles and brought it before the king. King Birambir was very happy. When he saw this box, he gave his servants many wonderful gifts. When he opened the box and he saw the books, just by the power of these books, just on seeing these books, there was a complete change in the heart of King Birambir. Tears started flowing from his eyes. All his past activities came before him, and he started weeping and weeping and weeping. And he told his associates that, "What a sinful person I am. Whoever is the owner of these books must be a very saintly person. And I have stolen these books. I am the most degraded of all." So saying, he fell unconscious. At that time, a personality in a golden form appeared before him and told him, "King, the owner of this treasure is a very saintly person, and his heart is very pure. He will forgive you of all your sins. In fact, you are his eternal associate. He will come and deliver you. In the meantime, at the site of the crime, when Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamanand woke up, there was no cart. There were no books. Narottam Das said, "We have failed. Our life is a total waste." Shyamananda said, "This very day, I will jump into a lake of fire." Srinivas Acharya his heart as if torn into millions of shreds, fell unconscious. In that unconscious state, he heard a voice from the sky which said, "The books are in the palace of King Birambir in the kingdom of Van Vishnupur." Srinivas Acharya sent Narottam Das Thakur to Kheturi and reminded him that his spiritual master Lokanath Goswami had given him the instruction of initiating thousands of disciples and spreading the holy name. Then he told Shyamananda he should go with Narottam Das till Kheturi, and from there he should go to Ambika Kalna, and from Ambika Kalna he should go to Orissa and spread the glories of the holy name. And he himself alone bravely walked towards the palace of the king. On the way, he met a Brahman. And this Brahman, his name was Krishna Vallabha. He invited him to his house and he gave him prasad. While Srinivas Acharya was having prasad, he was inquiring about the kingdom and the king. Krishna Vallabha told him about the king, about his activities, what an atrocious king he was. But he also told him one very important thing. He told him that every day in the court of the king listens to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srinivas Acharya found out more details and he reached the palace of the king exactly at the time when Srimad Bhagavatam was being recited. As soon as the king saw him, he understood. The king understood that this person is my guru. He is my deliverer. This person will save me from this miserable, sinful life. And he was about to ask him a question. Srinivas Acharya said, "Not now." After the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam is over, you may ask me what you want to ask. At the end of the recitation, the king approached Srinivas Acharya and paid obeisances to him. And Srinivas Acharya said, "What do you want me to speak about?" He said, "Please tell us about the Bhramar Gita, about the song which the black bumblebee sings to Srimati Radharani and the other gopis in separation from Krishna." Srinivas Acharya told them, based on the explanation given by Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, as taught to him by Jiva Goswami. And they were astounded. The Vyasa Acharya, who would normally narrate the Srimad Bhagavatam in that court, he was weeping tears of joy. They had never heard anything like this before. All of them just surrendered to Srinivas Acharya. At this point, the king asked Srinivas Acharya, "Who are you and why have you come here?" Srinivas Acharya explained, "Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He appeared in this world to perform his Vrindavan pastimes for the benefit of mankind. The same Lord Krishna has now appeared in the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu to deliver everyone in this age of Kali. Gauranga Mahaprabhu spoke the essence of his teachings to Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and the other Goswamis. These Goswamis put those teachings in a written form, in handwritten manuscripts into books, and the only copies of these books were entrusted to this most insignificant person, myself, and I was asked to take these books to Godadesh. And on the way, these books were stolen. Srinivas Acharya was besides himself. He was telling the king, "Now I wish to end my life. What will I do without these books?" The king consoled him and told him, "I am the thief. I am the thief. I have stolen those books." And he took him to another room and he brought him before the box which contained the books. Srinivas Acharya, what joy he felt. After so much vipralamba of separation from the teachings of the Acharyas, once again he was in the presence of these books. He personally worshipped each book, performed arati and placed it on his head. The king Birambir surrendered to Srinivas Acharya along with his entire kingdom. All the citizens of Vanavishnupur became the disciples of Srinivas Acharya. Actually, the king gave a quota of the number of rounds each citizen should be chanting. And at that time, the only worship they were performing was the worship which you read in the verse today. And that was of offering sacrifice to Kali, to demigods. Immediately, that was stopped. And in the entire kingdom of Vanavishnupur, the Yugadharma of chanting the Mahamantra was established. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. These are only a few traces of a drop of nectar on the life of Srinivas Acharya. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.